If you take 10 kilograms of the gold in 1929, which is how many pounds? 10 kilograms is that?
About 22 pounds.
About 22 pounds. So if you take 10 kilograms of gold, like just a gold bar in 1929, that was worth around $7,000. Again, like don't hold me to the exact numbers, but it was about the price of the average home in the U.S. Gold bar. You take that gold bar today, that same 10 kilograms, at current gold prices, it's worth about $750,000, which is about the same amount as the average home price here in the U.S. Welcome to The Financial Commute, a weekly podcast that gives you the rundown on what's going on in the current market, how it affects you, and what you can do about it, all designed to fit into your commute. I'm your host, Chris Galeski, and each week I share the table with a knowledgeable guest, including Morton Wealth Advisors, fund managers, and investment analysts, to break down complex financial topics. Our goal is to provide you with the tools to help you navigate any market environment, leading to a path of more confident investing. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for another episode of The Financial Commute. I'm your host, Chris Galeski, joined by wealth advisor Patrice Benning. Patrice, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
April 2024, we're seeing a lot of interesting signals in the markets, kind of conflicting.
Yeah.
Wanted to get your thoughts on it. So right now you've got stocks hitting all-time highs. I know the S&P 500 last week is down a couple percent, but that's not even a correction. So let's just say stocks are at or near all-time highs. You also have, you know, real estate or asset prices, excluding office, pretty expensive. Then you've got gold and crypto hitting new all-time highs. And then you've got people touting for the Fed to lower interest rates because, like, we need lower interest rates, which is a completely different signal all in of itself. What do you make of it?
Well, there's a lot of conflicting information in everything you just shared. And I think even in conversations I'm having with my friends, but clients as well, is that lowering interest rates, the Fed would do that to stimulate an economy.
Because things aren't going well.
Correct. Yeah. So technically, what happened is when they raised interest rates because inflation getting out of control a couple of years back, and yeah, the Wall Street, the market reacted. However, it did not create the recession that still we were talking about, soft landing, no landing, some kind of landing, but it's really not there. And I think that one of the key point for people to remember is that we have jobs, and that as long as people have jobs and the GDP is very much made of consumer spending, we are going to have a resilient economy, even with interest rates being high. So I would say that if the Fed were to lower interest rates, it would create even a bigger problem in the economy. But yes, I think it's, we should, the article you shared with me brought some interesting points.
But like, that's the scary thing about consumerism and spending. Like, as long as we have money or as long as we have income, we're going to avoid some sort of a recession or a fallback. Like, I think that recessions are completely healthy. And there has to at times be, you know, a little bit of pain if you've made bad decisions and your business did not do well. I won't even get into a number of examples about that. But here's what I found interesting. We're all talking about the value of homes and how much they've gone up over the past few years, right? Real house prices. I mean, the average home here in LA, like an entry-level home's gone from $800,000 to $1.2, $1.3. My numbers are pretty off, so like, don't hold me to them. But everybody's talking about the value of their home for two reasons. Either they're blown away by how expensive it is and they would like to buy and they're entering the market, or they're excited about how much money their house has made and they're potentially looking at leaving and going and buying a new house, but they're potentially stuck because they have a sub 4% interest rate. And if you value your home in U.S. dollars, you're pricing in inflation. But here's an interesting thing. If you take 10 kilograms of the gold in 1929, which is how many pounds? 10 kilograms is that?
About 22 pounds.
About 22 pounds. So if you take 10 kilograms of gold, like just a gold bar in 1929, that was worth around $7,000. Again, like don't hold me to the exact numbers, but it was about the price of the average home in the U.S. Gold bar. You take that gold bar today, that same 10 kilograms, at current gold prices, it's worth about $750,000, which is about the same amount as the average home price here in the U.S. So if I just kept my money in cash over that 95 years, it's maybe gone up a little bit, but it didn't go from $7,000 to $750. Like, I should have just bought gold, and I could have, I mean, everybody talks about how great real estate is, how we should always own real estate. To me, it seems like gold's been a pretty darn good investment over the last 100 years as well.
It really has. And I think that what people don't realize is that the power of credit, though. So what happens when, America is built on leverage. I come from a country that was a cash society for most of my life.
And leverage means like expanding the banking system.
Correct.
Right? Banks don't have $100 in deposits and then only lend out $100. They might have $100 on deposit and then lend out $1,000. So that money creation is what our country was. Keep going. Sorry.
Correct. No, but to your point is that someone that even if I think myself as an individual, 25 years ago, I did not have, let's say, $250,000 to buy a house. I had $5,000, but I borrowed the rest over 30 years at a almost 8% interest rate, paid private mortgage insurance on top of it. But what happened is over the course of the following, 5 to 7 years, the rates dropped. So what did I do as a good consumer? My income went up as well as rates dropped. I was able to refinance. I was able to pull more money out of my house. But I'm not the only one doing this, right?
Okay, so when you did that, when you refinanced and took money out, because you were refinancing at a lower rate, your
payment actually it was even lower than
your payment went down.
It did.
And so this science experiment that we're living through, where we've just had zero interest rate policy for 15 years. Right, the Fed, our country and other countries around the globe have printed trillions and trillions of dollars. But now all of a sudden we're in the science experiment where we've raised interest rates. And we're not likely to go back down to zero unless there's a real problem and issue. Why? But our system is reliant so much on the expansion of credit. And what do you think we go from here?
Well, I get a lot of questions where it's like, you brought the point of people kind of being stuck because they were able to take advantage of some incredible interest rates going back a couple of years, right? So if I don't want to move either. So if I don't want to move and you don't want to move, but there's, we have somebody who wants to buy our houses, their inventory is tight. So because of that, real estate prices are staying high. And that's kind of keeping along aligned with everything else you said, like with the, high stock market, and you've got all these other factors that come into play. So where does credit come into play here in the sense that people are still going to borrow even at today's interest rate because they need a place to live? And then going forward, when rates will drop, that'll be even, it'll create a new flurry of activity around that if you were to think about it.
And then, so that's some of my concerns, right? Is that when you have a system where that's predicated on being able to print money and increase the money supply, it allows policy makers to support your economy during good and bad times, right? Mm-hmm. If things are going too good, we can raise interest rates to slow things down. If things aren't going well enough, we can lower interest rates to try to spur growth. But what's happened recently is we've almost lost control. Now, the Fed's done a good job by raising interest rates and not breaking anything.
Right.
Right. But if you handle this responsibility of increasing or decreasing interest rates improperly, it can lead to explosive moves in asset prices. And again, I go back to the signals that the world is pointing to us. People are raising their hand saying, inflation's too high, debt's out of control, and it's expensive. I need you to lower interest rates because I'm my business or I can't survive. At the same time that asset prices are hitting new all-time highs and gold, which is more of a store, a safe haven or a store of value, hitting all-time highs, it's just conflicting signals. Like, I don't have a crystal ball, but I just find it really fascinating.
It really is. I do. We love gold here as part of the investment in our portfolios. And I think even your example going back to, almost a century ago, truly as a store of value, having that in your portfolio to kind of anchor it in case, just considering what the dollar, people that, if I have a really good interest rate on my mortgage, I am paying back my mortgage payment with depreciated dollars.
With less dollars.
With less dollars. So it's like the bank's losing, really. I'm winning every single time I make a mortgage payment. Because
just a picture on that. Let's say your mortgage payment is $5,000 a month today. Mm-hmm. But then it's that same $5,000 a month over the next 30 years. 20, 25 years from now, that same $5,000 doesn't feel the same.
Yep.
That's what you're referring to.
That is exactly what I'm referring to.
It's fascinating. I'm so glad that we do love gold as a company, and we allocate a meaningful amount of client portfolio dollars to gold to be that store of value, because in a given year, you're not really going to see or appreciate the benefits of it. But when you look at it right now, and just this pure fact that a brick of gold could buy an average home in the U.S. 100 years ago, and a brick of gold could still buy an average home in the U.S. today, you maybe understand a little bit more on what we mean by store of value, maintain its purchasing power over time, because the dollars in my wallet will not do that.
Nope.
And when inflation gets out of control, what do you want to do with the dollars in your wallet? You want to spend it as quickly as possible, because tomorrow it's going to buy you less and less stuff. And therein lies the problem that we're in, and why the Fed maybe can't lower interest rates or can't quite back off from this fight against inflation, because they're competing against 30-something trillion dollars that have been created in a very short period of time.
Yeah. And I'm staring at college, Chris. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, college did not get any cheaper over the last 5-6 years for you.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Thanks so much, Patrice.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for joining us, and we hope this episode has provided you with a roadmap to feel more confident as an investor. To receive notifications about weekly episodes, email us at financialcommute@mortonwealth.com.